For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
The following is a Hoop Bowl presentation.
What's happening, everybody? Welcome to Today in Sports Betting, a Hoop Ball presentation. I am your guest host today, Dan Bespris. Thanks so much for tuning in, everybody. You can follow me on Twitter at Dan Bespris, and you may know me from our fantasy show, but I also am a handicapper, arguably the longest tenured one here on our Hoop Ball staff. And so I'm very excited with this giant NBA card that the Hoop Ball gaming team called me up and said, Dan, get in there. You're needed today. Give me your rundown on 11 basketball games. And I said, really? And they said, absolutely. And I said, sweet. And here I am. You can follow Hoopball Gaming on Twitter at that exact handle, Hoopball Gaming. Hoopball Gaming, all one word, on Twitter. Go follow them immediately if you aren't already so you can get all the good stuff. Free plays included from our team of 9 awesome handicappers on the Hoopball staff. We're going to dive right into the action today. This will be a relatively short podcast, kind of a lightning round zip through the 11-game NBA card. Thoughts on every game, and if we've got any leans, we'll toss those in there as well. The Lakers are in Orlando and a 10-point road favorite, which frankly is just too big a number. Lakers just finished getting beat up twice by the Dallas Mavericks. I know the Magic are in full tank mode at this point, which makes it overall kind of a difficult game to bet on, no matter which way you're looking at it. But Anthony Davis is not yet himself, and he'll get there. But when he does, that's the point at which you maybe consider going back over to the Lakers side. But I can't in good conscience take the Lakers laying this many points, even against a terrible team. And I'll tell you, I think this is a coin flip. It's a giant number, but there's a very real chance the Magic just don't. I mean, they're on a pretty vicious losing spell these days. Bodies are, they're there, but no one that can really hang. And so on the Lakers side, even without LeBron, they're still far better than Orlando. But I can't touch this one. I would sooner look at the under with the assumption the Lakers continue to play good defense. Offensively, they've been a little bit screwball of late, and they're not going to run into a team like the Mavericks that can actually score against a decent defense. The Magic can't. So the under is the way I would look at this one. It's a very low number already at 208.5. But I'd be a little bit surprised if this game got up and over 204. Spurs at the Wizards. Spurs are -4 on the road, and it's a little bit weird to see the number that high. The Wizards are on a back-to-back, so it's about 2 points higher than it would have been otherwise. Bradley Beal was supposedly questionable after kind of tweaking a calf in yesterday's game, but then he wasn't on the Wizards injury report. So presumably he's in? Question mark? I don't know. I really don't know. I guess there's a possibility that he gets ruled out later on. Russell Westbrook is questionable. He apparently hurt his ankle in yesterday's ball game, and so maybe that's the reason that this number is is tilted so far in the Spurs' favor. Both of these teams have actually been playing relatively well of late, so I don't think I want anything to do with the side, especially with the weird injury stuff hanging over everything else. And then you look at the total of 228, and you're talking about two teams that do like to move. Spurs like to push the pace a little bit, although lately it's been not quite so severe. They've been kind of grinding it out a little bit more. And on the Wizards' side, and I don't know if folks have taken note of this, they've actually started to play a little bit of defense. The scores of their games are still obscenely high, but they've held their opponents now. Go back and look at some of the games the Wizards were losing. Look at some of the games they were losing, where they're giving up 120. And lately, on their eight-game win streak, they've only given up 120 points one time. They beat Utah 125-121. The rest of their eight-game win streak, 111, 115, 100, 107, 114, 109, 110. That's been the scores of the opposition team. Do we think the Wizards are going to get to that mark? Do we think they're going to get to 100 and, say, 18 if they're going to hold the Spurs to 110? Or would we think this thing slows down a little bit? This is another one where I look a little bit at the under on the total more so than I do the side. Hawks and Pistons is the third game on the dock. I told you, we're going to move through this thing. We're about two to three minutes per game. Hawks at Pistons. Atlanta, 4.5-point road favorites. Detroit is actually a double in-season revenge game. And for the Hawks, this is a pretty weird spot for them. They just came off kind of, yeah, I think we can safely call it an improbable win yesterday over the Milwaukee Bucks. They just beat Miami also without Trae Young after losing that first game. Or the game when Trey actually went down. That was the overtime loss to New York. Atlanta's not the same team they were earlier in the year. And even right after the coaching change, they were sort of winning games ugly. Well, they've continued to play good defense, but their offense got a lot better. And so it's been able to withstand the loss of Trey Young. However, they're coming off a stretch where they went Knicks, Heat, Bucks, and the two games after tonight are Philadelphia twice later on this week. Wednesday and Friday, I believe, and then their schedule lightens back up a tiny bit. So does this, and everybody's in kind of stretch run mode right now, so I don't know that we can necessarily classify anything as a look-ahead game, but certainly as letdown spots go, this is one of them. The Pistons on the road, Hawks are on the road at the Pistons, against a team that, at this point, sort of, I mean, they're just floating through. Detroit is not actively trying to collect victories at this point in the year, although presumably the veterans will actually be playing in this game. But they've been competitive when they've trotted their veterans out there. They beat the Cavaliers. They lost to the Mavericks only by 10. That was pretty good. And then they rested everybody. They lost to the Spurs by 15. Lost to the Pacers by 6 with most of their veterans in there. Didn't shoot the ball very well, but they were competitive. So I would expect the Pistons to be relatively competitive. I kind of wish Trey was in, so that the number would be higher. You'd be looking at, you know, 7.5 probably instead of 4.5, or maybe even more than that. And at that point, I'd be all over Detroit. Lower number here, anything can happen. Hawks are probably going to end up winning the ball game. They'll have some sort of comeback. So I don't trust the Pistons as, you know, money line type of thing. But I do think they're competitive. I think they hang. And so if anything, I would lean to the Detroit side. That's the direction I'm looking in that third game that we've talked about. Thunder at the Sixers. Sounds like Ben Simmons now has been upgraded to questionable. He's missed about a week and a half with an illness. We don't know much about that. It's not COVID, so at some point he'll be okay. Tobias Harris sounds like he's resting. We don't have a status update on Joel Embiid yet. Here's the thing. I could go into a whole in-depth analysis of what you're doing with this ball game, but at the end of the day, you're not betting on a game where you don't know who's playing on the Philly side. You're just not. It's bad. It's bad bet. The only thing you might do in such a scenario is to play for the injury or not. Meaning, say you think Joel Embiid is going to be in, well, you'd take the 76ers at 12.5 and hope that he gets ruled in, or someone else gets ruled in, or Simmons gets ruled in, and the number jumps up to 14, 15, something like that. Because it could get that high. The Thunder are really bad. They're resting Lou Dort. They'll have the rest of their guys, but they're losing. They're losing as a religion at this point because they got all those picks, and so they won too many damn games the first half of the year, so they just pulled the plug on anyone that might actually help them collect a victory. That's the only way you're playing this one, is you're trying to set up a middle based on Sixers injury news. That's it. I would not do anything else. You could do it with the total, too. You could take the over, hope guys get ruled in, total bumps up, You take the under, you create a 3-4 point sandwich there. I wouldn't do it. I'm not doing it. I wouldn't recommend it. You're gambling with information you don't have. You're guessing based on a questionable tag. That's a bad bet. Suns at Knicks, Suns 2.5 point road favorites, the total of 215. Phoenix coming in after losing a couple here on their road trip, kind of stumbling to the end of their roadie. There's two schools of thought on this ball game. First, Jay Crowder's been ruled out on the Phoenix side. That's kind of the only injury news on this ball game. There's two schools of thought are, does Phoenix look at this as a bounce back opportunity after getting beat by the Nets yesterday, or are they just kind of out of gas on this road trip? Everybody's so freaking tired this year because of the condensed schedule, because of the weird offseason. This isn't really a great spot. You know, Phoenix, their schedule wasn't particularly crazy compared to anybody else's, but they did have a 5-7 that ran them through most of a homestand. It was back on from April 7th to April 13th. And they were able to kind of hang in there during that stretch. By the way, this is stuff that you look at. You want to be aware of when teams are going to get tired. So again, that 5-7 started on the 7th for Utah. They beat, for Phoenix, they beat Utah, lost in the Clippers, beat Washington, Houston, and Miami. So they went 4-1 on that 5-7 night thing. And then you've seen the after effects of that. They beat Sacramento, not by that much. They lost to the Spurs, barely beat the Bucks, barely beat the hobbled 76ers, lost to the Celtics, lost to the Nets. I personally think the Suns are just tired right now. I do. They had 2 days off before that game in Brooklyn also, and that is just sort of not enough. Like, guys need actual rest, and they bounce around a lot. They go home for two games, and they're back out on the road for three, home for one, road for one, road for two. Like, Phoenix's schedule is not about to get easier, so they're going to have to dig deep and kind of will it. And I don't know that I trust him to. So I actually lean to the Knicks in this ballgame. I think they win this game outright. I think the Suns are running on fumes, and that's why that line has been coming down. This would have been a much juicier number if someone could have pounced on it when the Knicks were a 4-point underdog. But that line dropped precipitously as odds makers and bettors alike saw what the Suns looked like against Brooklyn, which is that they just didn't have much in the tank anymore. The key guys all looked fatigued. I think DeAndre Ayton was like the only guy who looked pretty good. And now he'll go up against the Knicks team that's like Brooklyn. They give up some points. Knicks are not allowed to give up some easy buckets. So I don't much care for the total. I do lean to New York on the side. Raptors, 11.5-point favorites at home against the Cavaliers. We found out that Larry Nance Jr. broke a thumb, so he's back out with another hand injury. That's 2 in a year for that dude. Cavs were effectively eliminated from playoff contention with their loss over the weekend. Colin Sexton's still out. I believe his deal is a concussion right now, so that total also falling like a boulder as things move in the not-going-to-score, Raptors-going-to-thump-em direction. Toronto appears to be playing their horses in this part, and Toronto's starting a 5-7 night thing too. If I'm the Raptors, and maybe this is what they're doing, they're playing their guys against the Cavs to sort of lock in the win, and then they might rest some dudes tomorrow against Brooklyn when they figure maybe they were going to get beat anyway. Then they go to Denver, Utah, and the Lakers, and the Clippers on a 4-game road trip. That's a rough one. So it's also possible they just play their guys on this back-to-back, see if they can win their home games, and then who knows what happens out on the road. Gary Trent's been ruled out with a contusion to his leg, so we'll see if that is a bounce-back thing. And, you know, what it comes down to here is in a ballgame like this one where guys are just getting ruled out, I would almost look at the Cavs to play a little above themselves, missing some pieces, but mostly I'd leave it alone. It's a pass. Bulls. This is a double revenge game for Chicago as well. And it's also a... No, excuse me. This is double revenge for Chicago? Yeah, it's double revenge for Chicago. And it's a rematch. These two teams played 2 days ago. So this one has a whole lot of stuff rolled up in it. Heat are a 6-point favorite at home. Total is at 206. Side actually moved up ever so slightly. I would look at the under in this ballgame. In fact, I have a pretty strong lean to the under, actually. That last ballgame paced out to 204 and ever so slightly went over that mark. And the reason I bring this up as relevant is because You know, you're looking at it, you're like 204. The total is 206. That's not a whole lot of breathing room. Well, that last one ended at 207. So a lot of people looked at it and thought, oh, this is paced to go over. So money is actually coming in on that side, and you might end up able to get 206.5 or even 207 as this day goes on. I think these two teams, because they just saw one another, and because this actually is a pretty critical ball game on both sides, I don't think you're going to see the pace start to slip away from either side. Both actually want to play a relatively slow ball game. I think I would argue the Heat maybe want to get out a little bit more just because they have better shooters, and the Bulls want to make it a slog where maybe they can win just kind of if Vooch gets hot or something good happens. Also of note, in their last ball game 2 days ago, that ball game was on pace to go under 200, and then the fourth quarter, the teams combined to score like 64 points, something stupid. Like, the Bulls went on this big run to try to make it a close ball game. They scored a whole bunch. They sped up the pace because it was a blowout. So Chicago was forced to try to shoot. The Heat countered with enough buckets going the other way, even if they were not playing quite as fast, but it changed the pace of the ball game because the ball game got away a little bit. So if you think this one's going to be a bit more competitive, and I do, I would look at the under. The reason I'm not looking at the Bulls, despite thinking that it'll be a more competitive ballgame, is that I do still think, ultimately, Jimmy Butler in the fourth quarter is just going to clamp. So the Bulls might hang in there for 3.5 quarters. I just don't see them closing it out. They don't have the horses. So I like the under in that ballgame more than I like the side. Jazz, 10-point road favorites in Minnesota against a team somehow they've actually lost to twice this year. Wolves have proven to be a very difficult matchup for Utah. And overall, look, the Jazz missing Donovan Mitchell, that's a big deal. But it goes all the way back to the All-Star break, really. They haven't been the same team since that Mondo run they went on. And this is the way it happens with all sports. All professional sports, at least, where guys go so hard for so long to rack up win after win after win after win, it starts to take an emotional toll on a team to win that many ball games. It's actually good to lose one every once in a while just to break up the intense mental focus. I like to think of, and I don't know if you guys are big into baseball, I like to think of Clayton Kershaw, actually, of the Dodgers as kind of an interesting example of this phenomenon. Because it's hard to visualize on a team standpoint, but maybe it's easier to visualize from an individual standpoint. I've always felt, and I think the numbers would bear this out, I've always felt that Clayton Kershaw's numbers, if you look at the postseason in particular, look terrible. But if you look at it from an inning-by-inning standpoint, it's this dramatic fall-off. And it's because he's just so intense on every pitch that by pitch like 75, which isn't all that high, he's starting to run out of mental fuel to make the good pitch. And it's the same thing with the Jazz, with teams that go on big win streaks. They're so good and so lasered in for so long that then you start to see the other side. If you want to think about it more from a mathematical standpoint, no one in the NBA goes at 100% for the entire season. But when you're on a long winning streak, you're going at 100% because you so desperately don't want to be the day, the guy, whatever, that causes the win streak to end, that you just push. You push a little harder and a little harder, and then all of a sudden, it ends. And for Utah, their monster win streak, I mean, you go all the way back to January when the big win streak ended, but they got sort of right back on it. But at some point in there, and it was around the All-Star break when everybody had like a few days to decompress, they lost it. They lost that focus. They lost what had made them, and it was even going into the All-Star break, really. It was like a few games in front of it. They just sort of lost what made them special, which was the hyper-focus on the defensive side combined with a very proficient three-point shooting offense. Yeah, they're still winning ball games, sure, but not at the same clip as before. Not close. And it's the defense. That's what's changed. You know, the losses, if you look at some of the recent losses for Utah, because they did have another win streak that rolled up in there mostly against Memphis in the end of April, or the end of March, I should say. Here in April, they've lost a handful of games. They gave up 111 to Dallas, 117 to Phoenix, 125 to Washington, 127 to the Lakers, and then they had this weirdo clunk fest against Minnesota 2 days ago where they only scored 96 points. All of this to say, Jazz are going to win this ball game. I would probably bet a house on the money line of this, but I don't think I can bet the 10-point spread because they're just not the same team they were before. The money line in this game is atrocious. I would never in a thousand years suggest that anyone actually make a money line bet on this game. You'd be betting minus 500. So it's 1-5 odds. But if you're feeling like a complete, well, idiot, put 5 units on the Jazz to win 1 unit. I don't think that basically 5 to win 1 is basically like saying there's, you know, for every one time the Jazz lose, they'll win it 5 times. So 6 tries, they win 5 out of 6 tries. So I think there's a better than 5-6 chance that they win this ball game, which actually does make that particular bet a value, but no way, no chance in hell I'm advising anybody to put a 5 or a 1-5 wager out on the market right now. Everything in betting is a value play, though, so you gotta at least think about it. Clippers, 1.5-point road favorites at the Pelicans. That's strange, man. Is somebody else out for this team that we don't know about yet? I hadn't seen any additional stuff on the Clippers. I figure Kawhi is still out, and it's fine. It doesn't change anything for me. They've been really good, and the Pels have been really bad. So something about this one isn't adding up, and so I'm going to leave it alone. Because that line looks way too good to be true. I would assume that every single person on Earth would take the Clippers at basically a pick 'em with the Pelicans these days. So something weird is going on. Like, they're down in Nollins and Paul George had a bad... was it crawfish? Or beignet? I don't know. Paul George had a bad something. That's my guess. I got nothing. I got nothing, folks. I don't know. I can't explain this one being a 1.5-point spread coming down from 3.5. I could explain the 3.5. You know, that puts him about a 6-point neutral court favorite. That's still probably a little bit low, but it's acceptably low. This line here where I don't believe either of these teams played yesterday. Am I forgetting something? No, Clippers didn't play yesterday. Pels didn't play yesterday. Neither one of them. Clippers have been off for 2 days. I mean, they're rested on top of everything else. This is super weird. Very weird line. I'm not touching it, but I would have to lean to the Clippers side because the Pels have just been awful. Do people not realize the Pels have been terrible? Is that why this is like this? I guess there's a Clippers lean. It's fishy as hell. That one stinks of salmon and red snapper. Grizzlies Nuggets. Grizzlies in altitude right now. This is actually kind of an interesting number, too. Nuggets 4.5-point home favorites. Grizzlies are playing great ball at the moment. Grizzlies are playing some really good basketball. However, it's also worth pointing out that the Grizzlies caught the Blazers kind of at the right time. Meaning, like, Memphis is playing relatively well, and they actually just lost in Denver a week ago. They played last Monday in Denver, then they just went west, did a tour up the Highway 1, and then came back to Denver, and then they go home to play Portland again. So it's a little bit weird. The thing I would note is looking back at that game on the 19th of April, again, the one that was just 1 week ago, Memphis and Denver, they covered, first of all, so from a fantasy standpoint, that's delightful. That ball game went to double overtime. Don't forget. JJJ is also back now for the Grizzlies. This is also a double revenge game for Memphis. They've lost both of their two previous matchups with the Nuggets this year. All of that stuff points to the Grizzlies playing better, but as I look at that game from a week ago, the Grizzlies actually played a really good basketball game. Nuggets had 24 turnovers. Grizzlies only had 14. Like, they had way more opportunity there. Nuggets out-rebounded the Grizzlies 58-47. And that's been an issue because Jonas Valanciunas was not in that ballgame. He'll be back for this one, so that should tip the rebounding back a little bit. Nuggets always shoot around 50%. Nikola Jokic was incredible. He'll have his hands a little bit more full in this ballgame. I just, like, the turnover thing in particular, I got to think that levels off a little bit. This was also a game where the Grizzlies led That's another, I think, actually really important point for this one. The Grizzlies led that double overtime game with Denver for most of the ball game. They were up 8 at the end of the first quarter, 4 at halftime, 8 again at the end of the third. Nuggets outscored them 29-21 in the fourth quarter to come back and then steal the game in double overtime. That, to me, that's the kind of game where the Grizzlies may have sort of missed their shot. And they're in altitude on a back-to-back. Now, yesterday's game was a day game, so it's not quite the same beat that you'd take if you were coming in from Portland after an evening game. You're losing an hour, 2-hour flight, all that 2.5-hour, I guess, from Portland. Like, that's a serious haul. This one, they did have time to recover a little bit. But to me, I think this is kind of a case of a public underdog. Grizzlies have looked really good lately, but this game reeks of them not having a whole lot left in the tank. I mean, they went all out against Portland in those two games over the weekend. Those are big to them. Those are so big. Grizzlies also shot 52% from downtown in that last game against the Blazers in the win. They're not going to do that again. They shot 43% against the Nuggets from downtown. They're not a great three-point shooting team. They're a pretty damn good two-point shooting team. Grizzlies also had a really good free throw shooting game against Portland yesterday. They played good defense yesterday. There's a lot of stuff. I look at this game with Denver and I think, like, this smells of a Denver win. Money coming in. Public seems to like the Grizzlies a little bit. I don't know, man. Wouldn't be surprised if a couple guys got ruled out on the Memphis side also. That's the tough scheduling spot. Mavericks in Sacramento, favored by 5.5. Luka Doncic, Kristaps Porzingis, Josh Richardson, Dorian Finney-Smith are all questionable for the ball game tonight. Kings without De'Aaron Fox. Played actually relatively well in their loss against Golden State yesterday. Do the Mavericks care about the fact the Kings beat them up a week ago? This is another one where I don't think you can make any bets until you know who's actually playing, because if KP or Luka gets ruled out, that line would drop like a boulder in the ocean. And then I'd probably look at the Mavericks side. Like, I want the lower number. I'm not laying the Mavericks at 5.5, but I would lay them at 2. I think they win that ball game with a guy resting. I'm not sure they win the ball game at full strength, or they probably do, but I don't know if they cover at full strength. I like what the Kings did, actually, with De'Aaron Fox out yesterday. They actually saw some other guys try a little bit. It almost looked like they played defense for a couple of quarters. That was something. So, recap here. Probably the biggest leans on the board for me, if I was going to loop all the way back around everything, I like the Bulls and the Heat under. I like the Jazz at a ridiculous money line clip, but we're not going to put that on the board here. I like the Nuggets. I liked some early game unders. Lakers Magic under, Spurs Wizards under. I thought that was worth exploring. I like the Pistons, although I wish we were getting more in that ballgame. That Suns-Knicks line, by the way, just jumped back up to 3. So someone either got ruled out or ruled in, and probably we leave that one alone since it happened while we were on air, and I'm not watching the news while I'm recording the podcast. So we'll go and we'll do a little more digging on that one. And then I like the Mavericks if they're missing someone, because I want that number to come down a little bit lower. I think they'll be just fine without the missing piece, whatever piece it happens to be. Obviously, Luka moves the line more than Porzingis, but I think if either one of those guys gets ruled out, then that becomes a much more interesting wager. And that is your 11-game speed round here on Today in Sports Betting. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Follow at HoopBallGaming for all of your HoopBall gaming needs. Get the wager pass for $9.99 a month, 33 cents a day for all the best top plays from our HoopBall handicappers. I personally am up about 9 units on the year. I feel good about that considering I was down 1 at the All-Star break, so it's been a really good second half. Troy's up 23 in the NBA. Gotta love that stuff. There's just a lot of good things going on if you want to bet the NBA. I don't actually have Aaron Brewski's numbers in front of me, but I know he's 36-18 since the All-Star break, so that's pretty freaking good. Anyway, let's have a wing ding, guys. Let's have a wing ding. Go get them. Get some wagers. Hit me up on Twitter at Dan Besbris, DanBesbris, if you got any questions. I am without a nanny today, so as soon as the baby wakes up, I'm gone. But we got the podcast in when it mattered. Best of luck. B-O-L, as they say. Whether you fade or follow, have a good night, everybody. Today in Sports Betting, back tomorrow with the rest of our contingent. I'm off the hook for that one. So long.
This has been a Hoop Ball presentation.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.